Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you. We have another immigration story now back from the spring. In April, ICE officials launched a new hotline they said was intended to support victims of crimes committed by criminal aliens. The hotline is part of an office called Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement, or VOICE. And while officials said the hotline would provide them tips on lawbreakers, critics said it quickly began serving another purpose. Daniel Rivero was on this program in the spring. He's an investigative reporter with Fusion.
ICE is actually using it as somewhat of an intelligence gathering operation. They are getting a lot of reports from people in the public who are reporting all sorts of just day-to-day things. People are reporting their neighbors, their coworkers, places where they eat. So the federal government has really said that they're doing it to help victims, but the way that it's actually being used is quite something different.
Well, today we visit Seattle, Washington, where immigration advocates have launched their own hotline, this one to help protect undocumented immigrants. Liz Jones with KUOW in Seattle has the story.
Morning traffic streams past a busy intersection in a South Seattle neighborhood. It's a largely Latino community where a young man named Jose grew up. We've withheld his last name to protect his privacy. Jose shows me around outside an apartment building he manages.
Oh, so this is where they were, huh?
Well, I was standing here.
Oh, okay.
And this is where they came down.
Last month, Jose came rushing to the building after he got a call from an agent with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE.
He told me that he was here. He was trying to apprehend a suspect. So I was like, okay, I'm on my way. I'm the property manager. And then he asked me how soon, because we have six agents who are ready to enter the premises.
But when Jose arrived, he didn't see any officers, so he waited by the back entrance. Then a few agents stepped out of unmarked vehicles.
Yeah, there was a couple cars. There was two back there, one in the middle. One was actually out in the street. So they basically had the whole place around there.
Jose asked to see a warrant. The ICE agent handed him some papers.
I was just scanning for the word judge. I was making sure that it came from a court and it was actually signed by a judge.
Immigration agents often use what's called an administrative warrant, but only a judge's signature gives them legal permission to search private property. Jose knew what to look for. He handed the papers back.
And I said, I'm sorry, in order for me to let you enter the premises, I need to see a warrant signed by a judge.
After some back and forth, the agents returned to their cars, and Jose says the agents warned him.
And said, well, if you're not going to let us in, we're just going to stay out here all day, and we're going to pick up anybody that comes in or leaves the property.
Jose waited. He knew help was on the way. Because before he raced over here, his first thought was to call a hotline built specifically for the situation.
Yeah. As soon as I hopped in my car, I just pulled up the website, called the 1-844 number.
You have reached the Washington Immigrant Solidarity Network S reporting hotline.
Yeah, I was actually just on my way to work, and so I got the address and I just went right to the scene.
Victoria Mena is with the Washington Immigrant and Solidarity Network. Last spring, the group launched a statewide hotline for people to report ICE activity and a text message alert system to sound the alarm when necessary. Hundreds of people now subscribe to these alerts. When Jose called the hotline that morning, the network's rapid response team sprang into action.
You know, we ended up having three attorneys there, community members there, other organizations present. And so, you know, this is a clear example of how this network can really work.
Mena took photos of the unmarked vehicles. Within minutes, the agents left. ICE officials say they prioritize arrests of serious criminals. I ask Mena why her group would interfere.
We're not standing in their way of doing their job. We're just holding them accountable that they have to do the right thing and take the right process and procedures.
Mena says the hotline gets about a dozen calls a week. Often they're just rumors of ICE activity, so the network will verify and try to calm fears. The group also runs volunteer trainings across the state to build up the local response teams. Immigration officials declined to comment on this specific incident at Jose's building, but in an email statement, an agency spokeswoman said individuals who impede ICE officers, quote, recklessly endanger not only the enforcement personnel, but also the individuals targeted for arrest and potentially innocent bystanders. Jose, the building manager, still gets a bit rattled thinking back to that encounter with ICE.
Honestly, as they were walking towards me, I thought, is this it? Is this where I'm going to get picked up and taken to a country that I really don't know?
Jose is undocumented, but he has temporary permission to stay and work here through DACA. It's a federal program for some immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children, and a program that's being phased out. After President Trump's election, Jose started attending Know Your Rights trainings. That's where he learned what to do if ICE ever stopped him, and also where he heard about the hotline. It was a game changer for him.
I wonder, you know, if you'd gotten the call and didn't know about the hotline, do you think you would have come here the way you did?
I probably wouldn't, honestly. Being in my situation with DACA, I probably would have just not put myself in that situation. But knowing that I had that network behind me, knowing that I had organizations here in the community that I can rely on, kind of gave me more confidence.
As we finish talking in the parking lot, a white SUV rolls by. It's clearly marked as Homeland Security. Then it drives on, down this street where Jose rode his bike as a kid. For The Takeaway, I'm Liz Jones in Seattle.
For much of this past year, we've been bringing you reports on sanctuary cities and states from all across the country. To hear these stories, visit our website at thetakeaway.org/sanctuarycities.